Glee Tehillim class. Last week we took a little bit of a break from our regular study to be able to study a chapter that was unique to Purim. I hope you found it as meaningful as I did, and it certainly helped get me ready for the holiday Purim. But this week we continue in our march of Hallel, the Prakim of Tehillim that represent Hallel, so that by the time we get to Pesach this year, we'll be well equipped to fully understand and fully grasp all of the concepts that the Chazal, that Hashem, that David HaMelech wanted us to grasp when it comes to the recitation of Hallel. Obviously, as I've said many times in the past, whenever we study more popular chapters at Tehillim, one of the challenges is that many of us are familiar with it. We know the words. Some of us have been saying Hallel for years and years and years on end. And so to find something new can oftentimes be challenging. But I must admit, with my own ignorance, that sometimes the more frequently you say something, actually the less familiar you are with it. And so in preparing this, I gained an enormous amount of understanding into this chapter, chapter 116 of Tehillim, Kuf Tes Zion, and I hope that you will as well. While I find all of the Mefarshim to be very meaningful as always, today we'll be gleaning from the Radak, from the Malbim, and most notably from the comments of Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch, to me, really opened the door on so much of this. And I'm excited to share it together with you here today. I do want to thank our sponsor for this morning, sponsored by Carol Wald, in loving memory of Miriam Bas Eliyahu Halevi on her Yahrzeit. And again, we thank Carol for her sponsorship. The learning should be Li'ule Nishmasa. And I also want to dedicate our learning this morning to my cousin, who is in need of our tfilos, Rafal Arna Cohen Ben Rivka. And again, our Tehillim this morning should be for Refuah Shleima for him. So again, I want to thank Carol profusely for her sponsorship. If anyone wants to sponsor a future class, they're welcome to contact the shul office. Okay, chapter 116 of Tehillim is familiar to us, but the structure is not familiar to us. And that is because that in our recitation of Hallel, it is divided into two chapters. Again, we're not going to discuss that right now. Perhaps a future class we will discuss why Chazal chose to do that. I'll offer one suggestion this morning. But it's actually two of the chapters that we colloquially assume or associate with Hallel is really one. And the sections are as follows. You have Psukim 1 through 4, which is description of calling out to Hashem in despair and pain. You have Psukim 5 through 11, which is a description of Hashem's mercy, of Hashem's salvation, even if you and I are not worthy of it. And Psukim 12 through 19 is us paying back debt to Hashem, and the praise to Hashem that comes when we pay back that debt to Hashem. The theme is somewhat simple. The theme is to cry out, or it's the cry of someone who is in distress, and it's the vow, it's the debt that he owes to Hashem once he is saved from this debt. Now, the Das Mikra points out that there's one of two ways to read this chapter of Tehillim. One way to read this chapter of Tehillim is either that it was written in the moment of despair. In other words, I am going through the challenge. I'm writing it, what we say, b'shas maitza, as I'm going through it. And the end of the perek, which discusses Hashem's salvation and the debt that I'm going to pay back to Hashem, that, says the Das Mikra, is saying that once I am saved, Hashem, I'm promising you that I'm going to pay back my vow. So that is one way of reading this chapter of Tehillim, that I'm reading it during the moment of despair. The alternative way of reading this chapter of Tehillim is that it is retrospective, that this is being written by someone who is now coming to fulfill that vow. In other words, he's recalling the story of how he was in pain. He's recalling the story of how Hashem saved him. And he's concluding with a declaration that he is here now to fulfill his vow, to praise Hashem, and to pay back his debt. The Das Mikra presents both of those approaches and ultimately hedges towards the second approach. Again, that is written by the person who is now coming to fulfill the vow. He brings certain textual proofs why he thinks that that is the more correct approach, but I will leave that to you as we read it to decide for yourselves which one is going to resonate more profoundly with you. Now, we did mention that in our Hallel, this chapter of Tehillim is split, and it's split at Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? I'm sorry, Yud Bet, where we finish off on Ani Amarti B'Chafzi Kol Adam Kozev. And then we start in Yud-Bet, Ma'ashiv Lashem Kol Tag Miloi Alai. In our Hallel, that is split into two. Says the Das Mikra, why is it split into two in Hallel? Here in our Perek HaTehillim, it's only one. And again, there are many, many reasons given. But the Das Mikra's reason, I thought was very interesting, which is to split the bitterness from the sweetness of redemption. Right? That the first half is all about the bitterness. The second half is all about the sweetness. And so in Hallel, we divide the two. I have to think about that a little bit more. I'm not fully sure I understand that comment of the Das Mikra for one reason and one reason only. And that is because you and I are going to come to a holiday very soon. And on that holiday very soon, instead of splitting the bitterness with the redemption, we actually are going to combine the bitterness with redemption. Almost everything in the Pesach story is about both of them, right? It's about bitterness and redemption. Maschil begnus, Messiah b'shvach, right? So much of it is about the bitterness and redemption. And so I have to think a little bit about that comment of the Das Mikra, but it's something to think about. And again, at a later class, we'll discuss why when we structured Hallel, we structured it in this way. Okay, so we are on Perek Kuftes Zayin. We are going to go pasuk by pasuk again. The basic format is first part, crying out in distress. Second part, paying back a vow. That's what you have to remember right now. Let's jump right in. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem es kol tachnunai. Right? I have loved because Hashem has listened to my prayers. Rashi says, what are we talking about here? Again, this is retrospective for Rashi. Says Rashi, kach amar David la'achar sheniftar Shaul v'hu melech. That David HaMelech is saying this after Shaul died, and David HaMelech is free from the burden. In other words, his entire life, he was running from Shaul who wanted to kill him. All of a sudden, Shaul's away from the picture. David HaMelech says, Hashem Baruch Hashem. Now I can relax a little bit. Now I can daven out to you. So that's how Rashi explains the historical context of this chapter. Says the Malbim in reading this first pasuk. What does it mean, I've loved Hashem? He says, Ahavti lischanein ulispalel al Hashem. Such a beautiful idea. Says the Malbim, I love to daven to God. Right? Some people come into davening and they're, oh, yeah, I gotta daven. Right? No, says David HaMelech, I love to daven to Hashem. Why? Mibnei she'Hashem yishma koli tamid. Because I daven with the emunah, I daven with the faith that Hashem is always listening to my tefillos. V'lo levad she'yishma koli be'isekra. It's not just that he listens to me when I call out to him, but says the Malbim, this is pasuk number two, ki hita oznoli uviyamai ekra. That even when I am alone, right? Kamisha mata ozno el ben yechidi ulai yishma kolo. Right? Think about when your son or your daughter is whimpering, right? Sometimes they're very upset. Right? And you can't really hear what they're saying, so you have to lean in and listen very carefully. Says the Malbim, that's what the Pasuk Aleph and Pasuk Bet is. That I love Hashem, that He listens to me when I call out, but it's not only when I call out. Even when I'm very soft, even when I'm quiet, even because of the weight of the difficulties I'm going under, I can't articulate it. Ki hita aznoli, Hashem leans in to listen to me. And so says the Malbim, what is the love that we express to Hashem in Pasuk Aleph, in Bet? It's a love that we recognize. We love talking to God because we recognize that He's always there to be able to listen to us. I think it's such a magnificent dayenu to hear that pshat of the Malbim. Dayenu for us this morning to have that reminder from the Malbim of what a great gift tefillah is for us. Rav Hirsch, and again, I'm going to be relying on Rav Hirsch a lot here today. Rav Hirsch articulates it in a little bit differently, but I think it. I could just read Rav Hirsch for you this morning, and it would be the shiur. Rav Hirsch says the following, that in our chapter, we are adding the following thought, that Hashem has already delivered the Jewish people many times in the past, and thus, the Jewish people are confident that its pleas will always be heard. Right? In other words, this is called Hallel HaMitzri. It's the national Hallel of the Jewish people. We started off with Yetzias Mitzrayim, and now we're coming to this. What's the connection, says Rav Hirsch? The connection is that we look to Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we're reminded that Hashem redeemed us, even in our darkest of times. And that gives us the confidence that no matter what I go through in life, all I have to do is look back at the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim to know that Hashem will listen to me now as well. For this reason, even in a situation which will cause the Jewish people to appeal to Hashem for help repeatedly and to beg for His favor, right? He will fulfill it with a certain sense of exaltation because the Jewish people sense the bliss of redemption even in advance of the actual deliverance. It's so magnificent what Rav Hirsch is saying. What Rav Hirsch is articulating is the notion that even when you and I are going through the hardship, even when you and I are going through the difficulty, what gives us the confidence is the knowledge that Hashem has saved us in the past. And so that even when I call out to Hashem in my moment of difficulty, He says, it's peppered with a sense of the bliss of redemption, because I know that if I'm calling out to Hashem, Geula can't be too far behind, because Hashem has done it in the past for us. That, says our verse, is the connection between the previous Prakim of Tehillim that we read with this Parak of Tehillim, why this is linked with the historical narrative of the Jewish people, because it's a recognition of Hashem's providence over us. It's a recognition that Hashem has delivered us in the past, and if He delivers us in the past, then guess what? I have good news. He's going to deliver us in the present and the future as well. That is the confidence that both the Malbim and Rav Hirsch articulate. According to both of them, Psukim Aleph and Beis are about tefillah. It's about recognizing just how special and unique our relationship with Hashem is and how awesome davening is. Davening stops being awesome for us. Why? Because we do it so regularly. But let's take a moment on a Thursday morning, March, whatever the date is, right? March 4th. Take a moment and let's reflect upon how awesome davening is. That we have an audience with the creator of the universe three times a day, if not more, to spill out our deepest and innermost anxieties and wants and needs to Him. Right? What greater bracha is that? Unless you think that Hashem's not listening, He doesn't do anything. No. We have history on our side. We have the narrative of Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have the narrative of the Makos and Kriyas Yamsuf to remind us that just as God listened to us back then, He'll listen to us now. And that's what you and I have to remember every single day. When we come to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, we do it every day, multiple times a day. Right? The end of Kriyat Shema, third paragraph of Shema, says the Gemara, is there solely to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. One of the things we're supposed to remember when we remember Yetzias Mitzrayim is this exact notion, that just as Hashem redeemed us and heard our tefillahs in the past, so too, please God, Be'ezras Hashem Yisbarach, He will hear our prayers and our cries in the future. That is Pasuk 1. That is Pasuk 2. Again, Malbim, the difference between them is that cries call out, hey, God! Right? The other one is Ki Ita Aznoli, that He listens very carefully. He leans in like a father who loves a son very, very much. And that's the imagery the Malbim says that you and I should have based on that second Pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Afafuni Chavle Maves Umitzarei Sha'ol Mitzauni. Afafuni comes from the word saviv, right? It's like surrounding me, right? The pangs of death are surrounding me. They're oppressing me. Umitzarei Sha'ol Mitzauni. And I'm found in the abyss. Tsara V'Yagon Emsa. In other words, I am facing troubles and I am facing sorrows. Uvishem Hashem Ekra Ana Hashem Malta Nafshi. And therefore says David HaMelech, V'Shem Hashem Ekra, that when I call out your name, Hashem, what is the davening? Ana Hashem Malta Nafshi. Hashem, please, I beg of you, save my soul. The Rav Hirsch points out over here that what is this psukim? Let me read actually another pasuk, and then we'll summarize according to Rav Hirsch. Chanun Adonai V'Tzadik, that Hashem is both righteous and He is merciful. V'Eloheinu Merachem, and again, Hashem bestows His pity upon us. Says Rav Hirsch, how do we read Psukim 3 through 5? He says, when the straits of death and the grave have come upon me, when I face nothing but grief and distress, I call upon Hashem to deliver me. And then He is as gracious as He is just. And because He is our God, because He regards us as the product of His work, He takes pity on us even as a father feels compassion for his child. So we recognize the precariousness of our situation. We recognize our ability to call out to a God because God is just and He is gracious. But why? What's it predicated on? It's predicated on our unique relationship with Hashem throughout our history, that we are His people and that He feels that we are the product of His work. And so He feels a unique sense of compassion for us, the same way a father would have mercy on his child. That is Rav Hirsch's understanding of Psukim 3 through 5. So 1 through 2 is a recognition of the efficacy of davening. Pasuk 3 through 5 is that even when I face the most difficult times, I have confidence to call out to Hashem because I'm His people. We are His people. We are His children. And therefore, I have the confidence that Hashem is going to hear my cries, that He's going to be compassionate on me, just like a father would have compassion on a child. Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem guards the simple ones. Rav Hirsch here points out that simple doesn't just mean simple, rather it means those who are unaware, the innocent or guileless, who are the victims of events brought about by others, while they may not have been foreseen. Right? So in other words, things beyond my control. Hashem is Shomer Pesayim Hashem. Hashem protects me. Dalosi, Veli Yehoshua, even when I'm dal, even when I'm very low down, Veli Yehoshua, Hashem is going to save me from that. Hashem is going to save me from that. Okay, the Radak over here points out, in Shomer Pesayim Hashem, he says, V'chein, here, he says, Amar, Ki Apesi, right, the simple person, Shein Yodea Tachbula, Linatzel Me'raso, right, sometimes you find yourself in a situation where we feel like the Pesi, the Pesayim, we feel simple, things are beyond our control, we're caught between a rock and a hard place, we're faced with a conundrum in life, where naturally, al pi teva, there seems to be no resolution to our problems. But the emuna that David HaMelech instills in every single one of us right now, says Radak, Ha'el Shomro, Hashem protects you. Kimesim ala bitchono, when we place our emuna in him. V'cheina ha'chacham lo yivtach b'chachmaso uvitach b'losav, and even the wisest people, they don't place their faith in their knowledge or in their abilities. Ki lo yo'ilolo im lo yirtza ha'kel, because at the end of the day, it ain't going to help you, right? A diagnosis, an illness, there's so many things beyond our control. So we might think we're in control, says the Radak. I have news for you. We're not. We're not. And that's why the only thing that we can do is to put our emunah in Hashem, to put our emunah in our relationship with Hashem, and to utilize the efficacy, the mechanism of davening as a way to connect to Hashem and to beseech Him for His graciousness and His kindness, even when you and I might not be fully worthy of it. That is Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin. Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, ki Hashem gamal alaychi. We ask Hashem to return us to a place of rest. Right? Shuvi nafshi l'menuchaychi, ki Hashem gamal alaychi. Because again, Hashem, you have... ki Hashem gamal alaychi, because you have done amazing kindness to us. Says Rav Hirsch over there again, something beautiful. He says, whatever life may bring, you are to find peace of mind in the knowledge that whatever has happened to you has been brought about by God Himself. That, says Rav Hirsch, is what Pasuk Zion is all about. Now, whatever happens to us in life, good, bad, ugly, right? What gives us the menuchas hanefesh, what gives us the peace of mind, what gives us a sense of inner tranquility is the knowledge that it was brought about by Hashem Himself. And that there are things in this world that I don't understand, and there are things in this world that you don't understand, and we never will understand. This, of course, Pasuk Zayin, Rav Hirsch's interpretation, is, of course, the holiday of Purim. That's what Purim is all about. Purim is all about the knowledge that whatever happens, God is behind the scenes. That if you lived in Shushan in that time, and you may have wondered to yourself, how could an evil man, Haman, destroy Achashverosh, what's going on? Yesterday we were partying with them, and today they want to destroy us. It's so illogical, it's nonsensical, and you were desperate. And yet, the message of the story is that Hashem is there the whole time. That we don't always understand it, we don't always like the outcome necessarily in our lifetime, but it is brought about by Hashem Himself. That is the emunah that we have in Purim. That is the notion of an Eis Nister, that even when we can't see Hashem, we have emunah pshuta, that He is guiding our lives according to His will. And that at the end, whatever the end might be, this world, the next world, Yemos HaMashiach, that in the end it is L'tov Aseinu, that it is for our good. That is what our emunah in Hashem means according to Rav Hirsch. Pasuk Ches, Ki chilatzta nafshi mimaves es eini midima es ragli midechi. Because you have delivered my neshama, because you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, es ragli midechi. And again, you have protected my legs from stumbling. If you look at Rav Hirsch over here, again, I keep on coming back to Rav Hirsch because he has many magnificent comments on this Perek HaTehillim. What is Pasuk Zayin, he says? He says, this awareness of Hashem's deliverance takes all the bitterness from my fate and sustains me, so that even when I walk through the most grievous trials, my foot will not falter. It gives me confidence to say the next Pasuk. Eshalech lifnei Adonai be'artzos achayim. It gives me the confidence to say that I will walk before the countenance of Hashem in the lands of the living. That is, I know that I shall fulfill to the end the task given to me by Hashem in the midst of the nations of any era, because I am the one nation which by reason of God's will is immortal. So, says Rav Hirsch, Psukim 8 and 9 are linked together. They are connected together, and it's an awareness that even when I'm going through the most difficult times, when I'm facing the prospects of death, and when my eyes are overflowing with tears, and when my legs feel like they're about to falter, right? What does it do? It takes all the bitterness and sustains me. It allows me to fulfill my mission and my purpose in this world. Why? Because he says, I am the one nation which by God, by the reason of God's will, is immortal. That Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker, that even though we have gone through difficult moments as a Jewish people, we always know that we will persevere. And therefore we say, Asalech lifnei Hashem be'artzos achayim. Right, Artzos Achayim doesn't necessarily only mean this world. It's not limited to this world. Artzos Achayim, right? Eretz Achayim is a cemetery in Israel. There's a reason for it, because the land of living, that we don't believe death is the end. We believe death is a transition, right? That our bodies might not be here anymore, but our neshamas very much live on. And so says David HaMelech, that is what gives me, that is what takes away a little bit of the bitterness of the difficulty that I am going through. That is Pasuk 8, and that is Pasuk 9. Pasuk 10, He'emanti ki adaber ani anisi me'od. Now here you have two different interpretations of how you can understand it. Option number one is, says the Malbim, Rotzalomar ani ma'amin becholev ma'she adaber ve'achli data. Right? David HaMelech is saying, I believe in my heart of hearts and everything that I said up until this point. V'hu she'adaber le'mor ki anisi me'od. Right? Ani amarti b'chavsi kol adam kozev. Says the Malbim, she'ma she'amarti az be'is hayeyush, that which I said when I was giving up, she'azamarti b'chivazon b'li yishuv adash kol adam kozev, that I said because I was so harried and I was so troubled by all my difficulties, and I said, you know what? This world is frivolous. This world means nothing. She'ein mamish b'chay adam, that this world means nothing. Ki behevel yelech v'choshech, because we're just walking in darkness. Our lives are worthless, David HaMelech says. But now I realize that that was just because I was going through just a difficult time. Now I realize that there's hope. So the Malbim reads his pasuk, and you'll see in a second, a very different way than the way Rav Hirsch reads it. But the Malbim says, you know what this pasuk is? That David HaMelech is acknowledging. He's saying, yeah, when I was going through the difficulty, I questioned things. I said, is this world worth it? So much suffering, so much difficulty, so much hardship. But now I realize that no, that there is hope, and that there is a system of reward and punishment, and God does pay back the wicked and reward the righteous. I was in a bad mood. And all of us have had those moments. All of us have had those moments of questioning, moments of frustration. Metzudas David reads it similarly. He says, Amana gedola haita belibi. Right, it was that ki ayisi medaber kashi ayisi meoneh meod betachlis hasakana. Again, when I was going through the difficulty, I said things I probably shouldn't have said. I got frustrated in ways that I probably shouldn't have gotten frustrated. So that's the Metzudas David, and that's the Malbim. The Rav Hirsch, as I said, interprets it. Rav Hirsch understands it entirely differently. Says Rav Hirsch, the psalmist says, right, David HaMelech is saying, I was so firmly convinced of the authenticity of my mission, though it was so contrary to the spirit of the rest of mankind, that I, who was anisi me'od, that I who was so terribly afflicted and dependent, dared say it aloud, b'chavzi, that even during my fleeing and wandering around the world, what did I have the courage to say? Kol ha'adam kozev, that all of mankind is delusional. Israel was the ani, the most powerless, dependent people amongst the nations. It was always in a state of chafaz. No place on earth offered permanent sojourn to its wandering feet. Israel had to be prepared at all times for garush. And yet, it had the courage to proclaim in the presence of its overlords the truth of its conviction, its protest against the errors of all the rest of the world. Israel had the strength to not only act contrary to its avowed principles and its interactions with those in the countries it happened to dwell. So that's, I can't choose for you. I offered you the Malbim, I offered you Rav Hirsch, but I will tell you personally that out of those two interpretations, I think the Rav Hirsch is gorgeous. Right? Rav Hirsch is essentially saying, you want to know what Psukim 10 and 11 are saying? Right? Hemanti ki adaber, ani anisi meod, ani anisi, we the Jewish people, who for millennia went through difficulty and hardship, We were wandering. Ani amarti bechavzi. We were always running. We were always scattering. We were always scattered. Right? And even that, we had the courage, says Rav Hirsch, to say kol ha'adam kozeim, that we had the courage to buck the trends of the societies that we were in. And when certain societies told us that certain things were permissible and acceptable, we, the Jewish people, came along and said, no, we're going to continue to remain true to our Torah values. We're going to remain, we're going to maintain a fidelity to Hashem. And so says Rav Hirsch again, I think it's so gorgeous, that what this is saying is, it's a declaration of the greatness of the Jewish people. That throughout our history, even though we were so terribly afflicted, and we were always on the run, right, we had the courage to proclaim the truth of our convictions. And again, I think that's what it means to be a Jew. I think these two psukim really describe what it means to be a Jew in exile, to have the courage to be in Ivri, Avrama Ivri, that we're always on the other side of the body of water. We're oftentimes doing things that are countercultural, but to be a Jew means to have the confidence to be able to be a little bit countercultural and to be able to do things that aren't popular and to be able to do things that societies around us are going to look at and laugh at and scoff at. But to be a religious Jew means that we do it. And we do it because we believe it is the MS. We do it because we believe it is the true thing. Okay? That is all part number one, right? In other words, if we were saying challah right now, there would be a hard break and we'd say, Ani amarti bechavzi kol adam kozev, right? That's how we would finish it off. Now, we pivot. And now it's as if we're saying to Hashem, right? What is it that I must do to Hashem in return for all of these things that He has done to me? Right? In other words, Hashem has protected me. Hashem has heard my tfilos. Hashem has given me the courage. All of these things that we've been saying up until this point, right? How can I repay God for it right now? What is it that I can do to Hashem? What is the debt that I own? So we say in Pasuk Yebez, Ma Ashiv La Hashem Kol Tag Miloi Alai. To me, some of the most gorgeous words in all of Tehillim. How can I ever pay back Hashem? How can I ever repay Hashem? Says the Malbim, Kishehechiyani Acher Ayeyesh Hagadol Azeh. After you are saved from your despondency, Mevur She'akar Ikar HaTova Etzlo Einu Achayim. Listen to this comment of the Malbim. That the greatness of salvation is not life. If you have an illness and you're saved from the illness, the enormity of that is not that you're alive. Rak ikar hatova hu ma she'ata yuchal leodos l'Hashem. Wow. Right? The greatness of being saved is, says the Malbim, that you can now praise Hashem for having saved you. Isn't that incredible? In other words, it's a reminder of why we're alive. We're not alive for ourselves. We're alive to serve God. And so if God gives us salvation, if God redeems me, if God heals me, if God answers my tefillah, then the answer is, oh, great, now I got what I wanted. Now I can enjoy it. No, the answer is, now I have the opportunity to praise Hashem. Now I have the opportunity to do what I'm here on this earth to do, which is, says the Malbim, Lahodos l'Hashem chazdo l'farsim gedulas Hashem. My job in this world is to tell the story. It's to tell the story of God's miracles. It's why we have in Judaism a notion of a sudas hoda, that if a person goes through a difficult situation and they are saved from that situation, we have an obligation of a sudas hoda, a korban toda. And the korban toda has an enormous amount of food accompanying it. And the reason is, Chazal tell us, is because, famous comment of the Netziv, because the whole purpose is to involve other people in it. I'm not supposed to just say thank you in the confines of my own home. I'm supposed to get up on a mountaintop and say, guys, I want you to know that I was in a really difficult situation. God saved me. And this is how great God is. I want to tell you the story. We do it nationally, of course, right? With Yetzias Mitzrayim. We do it nationally when we tell the story of the Exodus and the miracles that Hashem performed for us. But we have to do it personally as well. And so if you had an illness and you were saved from that illness, you have to talk about it. You have to talk about it. You have to tell the miracles of Hashem. And if you were almost in a car accident and at the last second something crazy happened, you got to tell that story because you got to tell the miracles of Hashem. That is our job. That is our mission and our purpose in this world is lehodos l'Hashem, is to praise God ulefarsem gedulas Hashem, and to pierce Him, to scream it out loud and proud that we are Jewish and that God is great and He loves us and He bestows enormous, incalculable amounts of kindness upon us. That, says the Malbim, is what we live for. Again, I think it's so counterintuitive. We don't just live to be alive. We live to serve Hashem. That's an important reminder for us to always go through. So, Mashiv Hashem, how can I ever thank Hashem for it? Kos, Yeshua Sasa, I lift up the cup of salvation. Again, the imagery here is just as when a cup is overflowing, right? So that's what we have over here. It was shame. Hashem Ekra, and I call out in the name of God. Says Rav Hirsch over here, Uvashem Hashem Ekra. He says, I shall continue and complete the mission begun by my first ancestor to call upon men in the name of Hashem. In other words, same way Avram Avinu proclaimed God's greatness, that's what we have to do. We have to complete the mission of Avram Avinu. You and I are on a mission. We have to complete the mission of Avram Avinu. Israel, the Jewish people, will be fully qualified to call men unto Hashem only once. It will hold in its hands the Kos Yeshuos, all of the abundance of demonstrations of divine salvation. So when we have that overflowing cup, when La'asid Lavo Yomosa Mashiach, Mashiach's going to come and we're going to be overwhelmed by the miracles. We're going to be like an overflowing cup. We're going to show that cup to the nations of the world and say, this is why. This is why you should believe in Hashem. This is why you should follow Him. This is why you should put your trust in Him. So, Kos Yeshuos Hashem, Esau, V'Shem Hashem Akra, Chevro, V'Shem Hashem Akra, says Rav Hirsch, is our purpose in this world. That is what we're doing here. We're not here just to make money. We're not here for honor. We're not here just to be alive. We're not here to enjoy, right? Those are nice, right? They're means to an end. We should get pleasure for this world. But what is the end? The end is, Lahodos Lashem Chazdo, is to thank Hashem for His chesed, ulefarsem gedulas Hashem, and to scream it loud and scream it proud. That is Pasuk Yud Gimel. Pasuk Yud Dalet. Nidarai ladonai ashalem negdana lechol amo. What are we doing right now? We are fulfilling our vows to Hashem. We are paying Him back in whatever way we can. And according to many of the Meforshim here, what we're talking about here is when you come to the Beis HaMikdash to bring a Korban Todah. Right, exactly what we're talking about. When you come, right? Again, when I'm going through a difficult situation, I say, if you save me, I'll bring a korban of thanksgiving. So now, say the Meforshim, we're in the Beis HaMikdash. And we're here. We're ready to repay our debt to Hashem. Yakar beinei Hashem hamavta lechasidav. Again, a somewhat difficult pasuk. Yakar means here, kasheh, says the Mitzvah Sion, that it's difficult in the eyes of Hashem, the death of the righteous. So how do you understand this pasuk? Okay, so Rav Hirsch over here understands it a little bit differently than I think pshat. Did I mark it off? No, I did not mark it off. Okay. Okay. So he translates it a little bit differently. I'm not going to get into it right now. But the pshat, the way the Meforshim, Mitzvah Sion, Mitzvah David, they all explain it is, right? Ki akar v'kasha davar livnei amakum. Lahavi amav esach hasidav. It's hard for Hashem. Hashem doesn't want to punish us. Right? Below itam, v'lazeh harbe le'nisim. That's our emunah, that because Hashem doesn't want to punish us, He overwhelms us with His miracles. Pasuk tezayin. Ana Hashem, ki ani avdecha ben amasecha pitachta l'moserai. Right? What is the word ana Hashem? So, if you look in an English translation, right? Ana. How would you translate ana? So, most Meforshim understand it as a form of praise. Right, but pleading, right? Like, Anna, please, Hashem. Okay? However, right, Malbim points out, Atayat chili hit palel, shiatzileo Hashem miyad oivav. Right now we're starting to dive into Hashem. We look directly at Hashem. Anna Hashem, please, God. The Radak says that is not what Anna means. He says that the word Anna, gamze kasuv behe. Right? In other words, it's not an aleph, Anna, aleph, nun, aleph, but it's Anna, aleph, nun, hey. By the way, this comment of the Radak, I'll bet you none of us knew it in advance. I heard it actually a couple years ago. Rabbi Sachs was here in our community. He said this idea, this quoted this Radak. But this alone was worth, it'll change your recitation of this in Challah. You notice Anna is not Aleph Nun Aleph. Aleph Nun Aleph means to, like please God. Says the Radak, Aleph Nun Hey is Hodah. It's thanking Hashem. And therefore, what are we thanking Hashem? We're not saying, please, Hashem. We're saying, thank you, Hashem, that I am your servant. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Thank you, Hashem, for making me your servant. Hashem, I could have been born to any religion. I could have been born to any set of parents. I could have been born in any generation. Thank you, Hashem, for allowing me to be born as your servant. Right? Inyan hoda lakel yisbarach she'asa imo tova tova b'avor shu avdo. We thank Hashem for making us his servants. And so while so much of the world is trying to unburden themselves of religion and unburden themselves of avdus, of the responsibilities that come with practicing religion, practicing Judaism, we do the exact opposite. We say, thank you, Hashem, for giving my life meaning and for giving my life purpose and for giving me a sense of immortality and for giving me a sense of nitzchios, a connection to the eternal, to the divine. Right? Thank you, Hashem, that I'm not just hevel varik, that I'm not just frivolously going through this world, but thank you, Hashem, for giving me that meaning, for allowing me to connect to something that is eternal. So again, that radak alone is worth the price of admission. Ana does not mean please, it means thank you. Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha. Ani avdecha ben amasecha. What is a ben amasecha? All the meforshim over here point out, says the Malbim, I'll read a few here. Ve'eni ke'eved mikne kesef. I'm not like a slave that, or a servant that you bought in the marketplace. Rak ani ben amasecha ke'eved yili bayis. I'm like a servant that was born into your house. Right? Rashi says, Eino dome tarbus eved alokeach min ashuk liyilud mishpacha shebabayis. You can't compare a servant that you went to the marketplace and bought to a servant that was born in your house. So that is the imagery that the Meforshim over here explain, that we are the children. In other words, we're not just like Hashem didn't just pick us at random, but rather we have a unique relationship with Hashem because we are born into his house. We are ben amasecha. Pitachta lemoserai. Hashem, you have opened up, you have taken away, you have unburdened me of my difficulties, of that which has confined me up until this point. That is Pasuk 16. I have the Radak here. I quoted the Radak. Okay. Pasuk 17. L'chaz b'ach zevach todav Hashem Hashem akra. Again, this is the final section. We're expressing our praise to Hashem. We're going to offer a sacrifice to you. Nidarai ladonai ashalem. Again, I'm going to fulfill my vows. I'm going to fill my debts. Negdana l'chol amo b'chatzros b'es Hashem. B'sochech Yerushalayim. I'm going to do it to Hashem in Yerushalayim. And again, that's just the fulfillment of our paying back our debts to Hashem. So, what have we spoken about? Oh, I see here Rav Hirsch, excuse me, that I have it, not just an underline, but a star next to Rav Hirsch. On Pasuk 16, that we are ben amasecha, says Rav Hirsch beautifully. He says, this means, the generation which has been found sufficiently matured to be redeemed, acknowledges that whatever abilities and qualifications it might possess to meet the demands of their new future. In other words, whatever you and I have nowadays, we have yeshivos, and we have mosdos, and we have seminaries, right? We have art scroll, and we have Koran. We have the greatest luxuries of religious experience in the history of mankind. We have the greatest access to religious texts and religious freedom in the history of humanity. Just reflect upon that for a second. You and I are living in a generation of the most religious access and freedom in all of world history. But, says Rav Hirsch, it's important to remember that it owes it to the generations of the past. That we are standing on the shoulders of giants. These past generations, through centuries of trial and tribulation, have remained faithful in the service of Hashem. They are the amasecha, says Rav Hirsch. They are the handmaid. And thus, by passing on to their descendants all that was true and noble in their lives, by giving us Mesorah, by protecting Judaism through the horrors of the Holocaust, and by putting on tefillin, and by keeping Shabbos, and right, think about the sacrifices that our Bubbies and Zadies and great Bubbies and great Zadies, grand, right? Think of all that they did to preserve Judaism for me and you, right? They were the Amasecha. And that means, says Rav Hirsch, that all of past Jewish history is Amasecha, and I am Ben Amasecha. We are the children of that. Says Rav Hirsch, when we say, Ana Hashem ki ani avdecha, we say, Hashem, I am your servant, but I'm not just your servant. I don't just stand here alone today thanking you or praying to you, but rather, ani avdecha ben amasecha. I'm standing on the shoulders of generations and generations of Jews who came before me, of generations and generations who during pogroms and persecution and massacres and anti-Semitism and the Holocaust and of running and fleeing and scattering during those thousands of years of generations of Jewish people who faithfully and dutifully maintain their connection to you, Hashem. That is why I'm standing here today. I'm not here alone. It's not Philip Moskowitz, but it's Philip Moskowitz with thousands of years of people who came before me who protected and preserved Judaism. That is why I'm here today. What an amazing pshat of Rav Hirsch. Ani avdecha ben amasecha, that I'm here, Hashem, because of who came before me. I am who we... Right? There's a line I've always quoted, that we are who we were. We are who we were. Okay? We are here because of who we were. Because of our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents, going back generations and generations, who so faithfully maintained that connection to Hashem, who so faithfully preserved our sacred Torah. All of past Jewish history is Amasecha, and I am Ben Amasecha. I am the lucky recipient of that Masorah, and it is my job now to preserve it and protect it and to guarantee it for the next generation as well. I think that is a, again, I keep on saying this, but that is an unbelievable pshat of Rav Hirsch. It is so beautiful. I know for me, it transformed this entire parak for me. And so I'll end where I began, which is saying sometimes in the most obvious chapters of Tehillim for us, you know, we say it's hard to find new meaning. And then you read chapters like this, and I don't know about you, but like almost every pasuk, I was able to find understandings that I hadn't fully been privy to before because we say it so quickly in the context of davening. But so many beautiful ideas that emerge from this chapter of Tehillim, whether it's the notion of Ana, that we're not just praying to Hashem, but we're thanking Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for giving my life meaning and giving my purpose, right? Ani avdecha ben amasecha, that I'm not just here by myself, but I'm here because of who came before me. That Jewish history is amasecha. I am the ben amasecha. The notion of uveshem Hashem akra, that our mission, our mandate, our purpose, the whole reason why we're here is not just to be alive, but it's to b'shem Hashem akra. It's to finish what Avram Avinu started. It's to finish out that mission and purpose, which is to call out the name of Hashem. Lahodos ulefarseim, as we said, to spread the word of God, to make sure that everyone understands it and everyone is aware of and sees His miracles. And so that is this chapter of Tehillim. The chapter of Tehillim starts off with the cry of someone who's in distress, the confidence in that cry, with the knowledge that historically God has always heard our tefillos, and therefore we have the confidence that He'll hear our tefillos again. And then it ends on a really happy note. It ends with the notion, with the reminder, with the confidence that Hashem will save us, and that when He does, you and I have to live up to our end of the bargain. That if Hashem is going to give us life, that if there's air in our lungs, that if you and I woke up this morning, there's a reason and there's a purpose for it. And that reason is purpose is to serve Hashem. You and I are not dead weight here today. It's not that the world needed another person, and so God said, fine, I'll give it to Moskowitz one other day. You and I are here for a purpose. Uveshem Hashem Ekra. We have to fulfill that debt to Hashem. I'll give you the following analogy. Imagine a person does enormous favors for you, right? Let's say you lose your job. And there's a friend who is in the same industry, maybe a little bit of a different industry, and he feels so bad for you that the entire time you're looking for a job, he spends yom ha'malayla, day and night, trying to help you find another job. Finally, he lands you a job that far surpasses your previous job. Better salary, better commute, better work conditions. You feel the burden of gratitude towards that person. You are overwhelmed by a sense of gratitude. Every time you're going to see that guy, thank you so much, thank you so much. You're going to send him flowers, right? Because you can't imagine your life without what that guy did for you. Chevra, that is our relationship with Hashem. Our relationship with Hashem is one of gratitude. It's the notion that we woke up this morning, that the sun rose, that the birds are chirping, that the grass is growing, that my heart is beating, that I was able to go to the bathroom this morning, that I have my delicious cup of coffee here with me today, that we celebrated in Shulah Hanachas Tefillin this morning, a boy who's continuing on in that lineage of putting on Tefillin. There are so many millions of brachas in our lives. And all Hashem asks for us is to recognize them, to thank Him for them, and to tell other people about it as well. That's why we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Right? Shema Yisrael. Notice if you have something, if you have a secret, that is the secret to meaning and purpose and value, you don't want to keep it to yourself. Shema Yisrael, hey, Chevra, listen to this.
We have the greatest gift in the world. It's called Torah. It's called Judaism. It's called a connection to Hashem. It's called davening. I don't want to keep it to myself. I want to share with everybody. It's contagious. I want to make sure that everyone has access to it. And that's ultimately what this chapter of Tehillim is about. So hopefully what we did was we took a very popular chapter of Tehillim, something that's familiar to all of us. We gave it new meaning, new context, and hopefully some food for thought along the way. With that, I bid you all a wonderful week, a good Shabbos, a Shabbos filled with that meaning and purpose, a Shabbos where we are able to connect to Hashem, and ultimately we're able to take to heart these important messages and give us a renewed meaning to our davening. Everyone have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you so much.